Well, the time is very limited now. I'm not going to speak too long, but I want to bring before us a precious truth that sometimes we neglect. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you young people to know that the Lord is not in some distant location, uninterested in what you are going through in the daily conflicts of life, the decisions, the confrontations with the enemy. And someone that can have an understanding of what you are going through. Hebrews 4, 15 or 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into or through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, sin apart. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the Lord was not a high priest on the earth. In his pathway down here, he was the full manifestation of the heart of God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That man that walked the roads of Galilee was the eternal one, the Son of God who took manhood into union with himself, veiling the glory that he had from a past eternity in majesty and power. It was veiled. He was a man who walked this earth in compassion, in love. No one came to the Lord who was disappointed. He performed many miracles. Many without times without number. Never did he perform one for himself. He felt what it was to be a man in a world that had no room for God. And he felt what others were going through. The Lord never healed a person, but he entered into the sickness and bore it upon his heart, himself bare our infirmities and took our sicknesses. That's not the atonement of Christ. He didn't do anything of that sort in his death. But as a man down here, he entered into the problems, the trials. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. Who is he weeping for? Lazarus? No, he's going to raise him from the dead. He mingled his tears with the sorrowing sisters of Bethany, of all the places in the land of Israel where the Lord was welcome, very few where the door was open for him, but Bethany was. There he found refuge, comfort, understanding, care. But now remember, the Lord has not given up his manhood. He entered the glory. He was reinvested, we might say, with that glory which he had from a past eternity. Really, he had never given that up, but now he entered the glory as a man. That was something that did not occur before the Lord's ascension, when his hands were raised up at Bethany and he rose and received up in glory. Those hands have never come down. And so we have the priesthood of Christ, not during his life. The Lord did not become a high priest until he had finished the work of redemption on the cross to the glory of God and for our blessing, put away sin according to the holy claims of God, and then died and raised again by the glory of the Father and ascended to the right hand of God. There he is today. And you, boys and girls, men and young people, you have a man there in the glory who understands all that you are going through, sin apart. He has sympathy. It says here, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Yet the Lord did not have any infirmity. He was perfect, holy. We have infirmities because we're connected with this groaning creation by our natures. But the Lord enters into our infirmities, whatever it may be, mental or physical. He enters into that. He understands. He is able to provide what you stand in need of. He's able to sympathize those who are going through sorrow, problems and difficulties in your pathway that you can't explain to anyone because they don't seem to understand. But the Lord understands perfectly. And your name is on his shoulders, the place of strength. Six on one side, onyx stone here, eternal security. You will never perish. You are on the shoulders of the high priest. He's an all the way home savior. However, there was also the breastplate. And on the breastplate, there were 12 stones. You can read in Exodus 28, 29. And each stone was different. They weren't all the same. On the shoulders, they were the same. But on the breastplate, they were all different. 12 of them. You can read the names of the stones there in Exodus. The Lord has a special interest in every one of your lives. You are special to him. He understands your personality, your weaknesses, your special problems that you have. He understands that. You're on the heart of the great high priest. Your names are engraved on his hands and on his heart for eternity. Well, life is the Christian life is a wonderful privilege, but it's not easy. We're in a world that has crucified the Son of God, and we're called to bear his reproach. But it's a privilege to be an ambassador for Christ. Getting away from my subject, what I want to impress upon each one of us is that the Lord, as a man, he is living for us, interceding for us every hour of every day. There he is at God's right hand, our great high priest. Not for our sins, for our weaknesses, but we have an advocate too. Thank God, one who is able to restore our souls into the enjoyment of his love. And that will go on. That work of the Lord will go on. Till when? Till we see him face to face, and we will no longer need it. Now we need it, but then we will be with him. And remember the privilege of prayer. 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful privilege of prayer, having common thoughts with God, able to, at any hour of the day or night, lift our hearts to the Lord in dependence. Pray without ceasing. You say, how can I do that? I'm at school, immersed in my courses and or my employment. Look at Nehemiah. I must stop here. But look at Nehemiah, holding a very important position with the king of Persia, who had life and death in his hands. Nehemiah, you look sad. He's always been cheerful because, after all, he was the cupbearer. Nehemiah, what's wrong? Are you ill? Nehemiah began to tremble. Perhaps the king thought, is there some plot going on against me? And so right there, Nehemiah lifted his heart to the Lord. Right as he stood before the king, and then he answered. And you know, the result was far beyond his expectation. He was granted the leave of absence. It must have been for quite a few months, maybe years. Besides the provision of the materials to enable him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that were burnt and broken down, the Lord answered his prayer. So may we live in that spirit of dependence. And the word of God, as our brother has so well brought out, may we have it in our thoughts and meditations. There's a principle of Scripture for every difficulty in your life. No matter what it is, there's a principle that shows you the mind of God. We have examples in the Old Testament, the kings. I'm sorry that I've neglected my study of the kings, but I've enjoyed Asa and others who followed the Lord faithfully, but always did not have a good ending. May the Lord help us to remember we're here for a short time to be a help to our brethren, to sound forth the word of the Lord to the unsaved, an ambassador for Christ. My wife is Brazilian, as you probably know, and at one time there was an invitation given to all the Brazilians in the Ottawa area to come and meet the ambassador to Brazil. We had an invitation in our hands, so we went to the venue. There was the ambassador with his wife. What a responsible position. Able to speak with him, Eleanor, of course, in Portuguese, and give him a gospel calendar. Well, he's looked up to with honor, but you are an ambassador for the Son of God. And the Lord wants to use you as a channel of blessing. The source is in the Lord. The channel we can be, out of his belly flow rivers of living water. But you have to keep close to the Lord so that the sluices are open. May God bless his word to all of us.